Hello, everybody, and welcome to another Spiritual Hollywood Hour. I am Kate Romero, your host of Spiritual Hollywood, and I just want to say thank you, as usual, like I do every week, and I will every week, to BBS Radio, Don Newsom, Doug Newsom, Seth Hendrick over there, that support all of the lovely hosts on this network who are making a difference and bringing massive amounts of people back to their divinity and saying things that kind of make them go, Speaking of things that make you go, tonight's topic is about the journey of 1,000 miles begins with the first step. And I have, as my guest this evening, I've been waiting to bring this lovely person on, is Tracy Doherty. Tracy Doherty is a former Miss Virginia USA beauty queen. She's still a beauty queen, but she actually won in the pageant. And she is an actress celebrity in Los Angeles, as well as one of my favorite clients as a talent manager. So without making you wait too long, I will give you her website, which is www.tracydoherty.net. Now, before you start typing, the name is spelled a little tricky. It's TracyDoherty.net. That's TracyDoherty.net. And Tracy and I have known each other for quite some time, and I've watched her blossom, and she was pretty blossomed when I met her, but she's unfolding into the most beautiful bouquet, and I wanted to bring her on and honor her in all her great work and progress and the kind of human that she is and the difference she's making and all the ways she's making it. And she's about to become a producer and is a wonderful actor, as well as a stepmom, a wife, and a financial wizard, which I hope she'll tell you some about. And I'm going to read a bit from her bio to give you a sense of Tracy before I bring her on. She says, "For me, the joy of acting goes beyond the applause, awards, and the excitement of the fans. Of course, this stuff is nice, but there is something that cuts much deeper. Working as an actor is more about letting myself dig deep into my heart, having guts to believe, to be vulnerable, and to express that vulnerability. The core of my humanness in an honest way, it's about collaborating with other artists to tell the story so that we all may take part in expanding consciousness and allowing people to feel the truth of their humanity. It is my sincere hope that my performances move something in the lives of others, helping them feel good about themselves, inspiring them to tap their own possibilities and achieve their hopes for the present moment and their dreams for the future, to stimulate them to accomplish something great." So that's a great statement coming from a Hollywood actress, celebrity, beauty queen. It's a lot of depth, and you don't always find that. And I just really want to have you enjoy Tracy Doherty. Tracy, welcome. Thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Katie. This is a pleasure.
You bet. So I'll say your website again so the listeners can pull that up, those who are just joining us. It's www.tracydoherty.net, www.tracydoherty.net. And you'll find Tracy's resume, her demo tape there, and lots of photos, and, of course, her bio. And, Tracy, I would like for you to give your version of what started you in the pageantry genre. What got you started? I mean, I know your mother had a lot to do with it, and I'd like to just hear it from you about what that was like and how old you were when that happened, and did you dream about it when you were small, and did you admire other beauty queens, and did you see yourself in that role years before you actually filled it?
Oh, absolutely. I think, like many young girls or little girls, I dreamed about being a beauty queen or a princess. There was something about the crown and that moment of being of having the light shined on you in a particular way that I think is just magic. And so I definitely dreamed about it, but it did take me quite a long time to get there. I was in my junior year in high school, so I was 16, I guess, when I did my first pageant. So I did a teen pageant, and immediately got, I don't think I had ever really been truly that competitive prior to that. I had been a dancer, so I was competitive in that way, but it was a little bit different because other than getting, you know, certain roles in dance performances, there wasn't a competition involved in it. It was competitive, but it wasn't an actual date in an audition sort of way. And the pageant gave me that. It gave me, you know, a definitive date. And I got very competitive, and I realized quickly, you know, after my first pageant, I actually think it's important for me to mention in my first pageant, I didn't even place in the top 15. I didn't know what I was doing. I, you know, didn't understand how all, you know, all the different competitions worked and mm-hmm. the importance of different pieces of it. And I didn't place, but there was something in me that knew I could. Not only did I know I could, but I really believed I could win. And I did another teen pageant that same year or thereabouts, and I placed in the top 5. So from not placing at all to placing in the top 5, it was really just about kind of a skill set, and I think it's really important to acting as well. That it really comes down to having the right skills. I mean, it's not that there aren't people who have natural talent and natural gifts, and in pageants there is a natural gift of beauty that, you know, I was blessed to have. But there's also, you know, I also had to hone that. It's not completely natural. I mean, you have to magnify it for others to see. They don't always see that at first glance. And mm-hmm. I think that's the same with acting. I don't think that people necessarily see the talent in someone always right at first.
Right. So when you won the Miss Virginia USA pageant, could you tell our listeners, like, step-by-step action steps that you took internally to allow yourself to have each step-by-step be a success that led to the ultimate winning of that pageant? Do you know what I mean by that?
I think I do. You know, another important piece is I was in the Miss Virginia USA. I took some time off because of just age differential. I was a little young to be doing the Miss pageant. So there was about a year or two in between doing teen pageants and doing the Miss pageant. And I did the Miss pageant, actually I did it once right away, and it was a mistake, but it wasn't a mistake, as you always say, there are no mistakes, because I was the youngest girl in the pageant, and there was about 120 contestants that year, and I placed in the top 15. So I got a lot of notoriety for being young and placing
right.
in a pageant that had that many contestants.
Right.
So, but I was told very quickly by the pageant people to stay out a year because I was just too young. That there was no way that I would win the pageant as a 17 or 18-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
So I did. I heeded their advice. And then I went back and I did the pageant 3 consecutive years. And you know, incrementally did better and better and better. I was 4th runner-up, I was 2nd runner-up, and then I won. But for me, the steps were really internal. I had a lot of self-doubt. And, Katie, you know this well because we've talked a lot about it, but it was really important for me, and this really does transfer into me as an actor as well, and that it was really important for me to understand the reasons why I wanted it. Because I think that I had a lot of guilt, in a way, for wanting to be Miss Virginia, that I thought it was, you know, it was very vain. You know, all the things that you think about, and it is also, there was also something, I'm a smart girl, I was a smart girl then, I'm a smart woman now, but, you know, I was a smart girl, and I didn't want to only be judged for my looks, yet there was something that I was looking for the validation in it. And so that was a lot of the work I had to do through the 3 years, was figuring out that I didn't need the validation necessarily for that, but what the opportunity of being Miss Virginia could give me and how it played into my purpose in my life. And
right.
I always was, it was really important for me to be a role model, that I had nieces and young nieces and nephews and had always sort of been surrounded, and I actually, my dad had kids later in life, and so I had a younger sister and a younger brother, and so I felt a real responsibility to being a role model. And I wanted that, you know, I really wanted that I think, you know, somewhere along the way I saw someone be, you know, I saw a beauty queen be a role model, and that's what I aspire to.
Mm. Well, there's a lot of power in being a role model. It inspired you to be one. And I happen to know that when I was 7 years old, I had a teacher named Miss Burkrown who had been a runway model, and she was just stunning, just tall, slender, poised, had a lot of confidence and personality, charisma. And one day I found a bunch of different colored ribbons, and I put them, the different colored ribbons, on both sides of my hair, and I pulled it back like I saw her doing. And that day in class, she said, "I want everybody to look at Katie. She really knows how to present herself. She knows how to have fun and to show her colors and to not worry about what anybody's going to think." And if it had not been for her making that comment to me, I would not be the fashion plate I am today. And I wouldn't have been so bold, I think, to really express my full colors. And, you know, I dearly love to decorate my space, and that includes how I show up and what I look like. And it's not a vanity thing. I just want to decorate my space. I want to be pleasing to the eye for myself and for everybody around me. And so in that way, it's not vanity. It's actually generous. It's being conscientious. It's a conscientious kind of knowing about how to be appealing and how to be a role model and how to show others how to express their inner beauty queen. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's what I guess, you know, was really important for me, was understanding that it was about me presenting myself and giving people an idea of what they could do.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, you know, it was not an easy path. I've always been, and so some of this is just goes to the natural instinct, but I've always been an avid reader of motivational type material. So for me, it was, it really actually gave me an opportunity and a forum in which to put to practice all of the stuff that I had been reading. And I did. And I remember back when after I won, you know, a lot of hopefuls would come to me and ask me questions, and I would always say to them, you know, I learned so much more from losing than I did from ever winning. I learned more about myself and what I was capable of handling, but I also, it forced me to dig deeper. Every time I didn't win, you know, the coveted prize, I dug a little bit deeper. And I think, you know, that when we show up in our authentic self, that is when we can shine. And that is really what I kept having to kind of strip away the pageant girl stuff to, you know. And I remember the year that I won, something so foolish is that, you know, every year had been big hair. Everybody had big hair, you know, but this is back in, I'm dating myself, but back in the late 80s and early 90s.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody had long, beautiful, blonde, big hair. And I have very fine, thin hair. Blonde, mm-hmm. Yes. Enhanced blonde at the time. But, you know, I didn't have big hair, but I would tease my hair within an inch of its life to get the big hair.
Right.
And the year that I went in, I remember to almost like people like being shocked. I said, "I'm wearing my hair straight. I'm wearing it straight," you know, because it was like, I'm not going to try to pretend that I can be that anymore. You know, it's not natural for me. It doesn't really look right on me. You know, it's something, I know that that's like very external, but the way in which I was showing myself authentically is I was having to learn to also stand up for myself and say, this is who I am, and this is how I'm going to present myself. And win or lose, it's what I'm going to do. You know, I mean, it was an amazing ride, you know, an amazing ride. I recently went to an audition, and I was, the person on the other side of the audition noted that I was Miss Virginia and took a fairly negative posture on that. And
really?
I have to say that, yeah, and you don't, and most people don't. This was a unique situation, I think. But I was, you know, I found myself, you know, just thinking, you know, don't knock it until you try it. because it really taught me so much. I mean, you can say whatever you want to say about the, I guess, you know, this person was coming more from a feminist perspective that, you know, degrading. And I think that, you know, for me, I just, it was such an invaluable learning tool, and it really did give me definitely gave me the confidence to move to California. I mean, I don't, you know, I didn't have much else going for me other than the fact that I had proven I could do it, whatever it was. So,
At what age did you know what your purpose was, Tracy?
Well, I think that's a great question, because I don't have a definite answer. I really think that the pageant forced me to look at what my purpose was, but if I were to really look back on my life, and hindsight, you know, is always 20/20, as we say, that my purpose was always manifesting itself. I can remember, you know, like many people, my parents divorced. And, you know, that was a big tragedy for me. They divorced when I was 8. And I wrote a play about it. And I remember it specifically because my dad, I actually hid the play under my mattress, between my mattress and my box springs, because it was really very personal. I wrote it. I never intended to share it with anyone. And at some point, I think my dad was moving furniture around and found it, and he read it and talked to me about it. And so I remember so vividly, because I was kind of in shock and, you know, and in fear that he was going to scold me for what I had written about him, you know, how I perceived his character in this little play that I had written. So I think that my purpose was always there. It was always manifesting itself, but I don't think that I really stepped into it. Honestly, you know, I mean, I think I'm still stepping into it. Every day I remind myself what my purpose is, and, you know, and to keep stepping into it, and that helps me get out of my way.
You could define your purpose or distinguish your purpose for our listeners. What would you say?
Well, I think it is very much what you read. It is, if I can move people and inspire them to tap into their own possibilities, then I feel like I've done my job. And however I do that, you know, it could be just a conversation. It could be just showing up. I mean, I'm a stepmother, and I think, you know, the best way I know how to be a stepmom is to live by example, is to keep just showing up. I mean, just keep doing what I say I'm going to do and show them what's possible.
I am a stepmom also of a 13-year-old boy and a 9-year-old girl. And I am just beyond thrilled to have an opportunity to be a role model for them. And you're absolutely right on when you say that when you the best thing you can do for them is to show up and do what you say you're going to do and show them that you're following through and that they're worth that. And it makes such a difference when you're able to do that, because little kids need to know that there's certainty in their lives and that they can count on the adults around them and that they're cared for so that they can have a carefree childhood and grow up to be happy adults who have happy memories of their childhood. And I happen to know, as a stepmom, I want every moment kids are with us to be as happy as possible, as real as possible, as authentic as possible, so that when they're adults, they look back on this time and it won't be a tragedy.
Yeah, I think that's such an important part. It's so important.
Divorce is hard for kids.
It is hard. It is hard, you know. I lived through it.
Fact of life.
Yep.
The fact of life, yeah. So the best thing to do is ask ourselves what's perfect about everything.
Exactly.
Are you excited about your audition for CSI tomorrow?
Yes, indeed, I am. I'm very excited. It's one of those auditions that I feel is right in my sweet spot.
Yeah, I thought so. Yeah, it's the role of Cherry, and when you book this, it's going to be so delightful to watch you perform it.
Yes. Very exciting.
Good. So, what I'm noticing in all the time I've known you, I think I met you in 2002, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
Yeah, that sounds right. I've seen you take great strides and increase your courage and your strength and your stamina and raise your standards and your values and your ethics along the way and use every single thing that was put in your path to help you become more solidified in your authentic self. And the more you do that, the more I've seen you advance in your career. And the more you trust that inner voice and the more you are your authentic self, the more the industry and the universe is responding to you. And ever since I invited you on the show, the focus that I've put on you in this new way by having you as my guest has caused all kinds of ripples in the universe and caused a lot of activity for you. Yes, and I know that you can see it. And I work just as hard for you every single day as I have in the past couple of days. And because there's a different kind of focus and because you are willing to share yourself globally on this radio show, the universe is saying, okay, then we're going to give her more. So thank you for being with me tonight on this show and for sharing what you're sharing with our listeners, because, you know, our audience lives inside of us and a lot of people out there needed to hear what you have to say tonight. So every word that comes out of your mouth, I know it's coming from your authentic core, and it's exactly what the listeners are wanting to hear and needing to hear. And like I told you about my teacher when I was 7, had it not been for that one day coming from that one person, it had to be her and it had to be that day. And because it was, it changed my life. And, you know, you're capable of doing that too, Tracy, and you know that. And because you know that, you are connected to your purpose, and your purpose is now calling you forth.
Amen. Well, you know, Katie, I need to sort of turn the tables a little bit here and just say that, you know, much like your teacher when you were, what did you say, 7 years old? I feel that way about you. And just for the listeners who are out there, I left the entertainment business for a period of my life to go into the investment business. And I, for a multitude of reasons, which I can't get into in the time frame we have, I ended up taking an acting class, and I, you know, like many actors who are listening, I'm sure know, it is like a drug. We get a taste of, I think, living in the present moment, sometimes not in our own selves, but as other characters, but there is a facet of ourselves that's there. And I decided to come back to acting, and I was looking for things to do, and I attended a conference, like a panel discussion that Katie sat on, and with other managers and agents, and I sensed a few of them who triggered me at that particular conference, a note with a picture and resume. And Katie called me and had me do an audition for her and signed me. And it was that moment that I often tell people that story of, you know, it was the universe really coming together. It really does conspire to help you live your purpose. And in some weird way, I mean, I had not acted professionally in 5 years. And so it was that moment that really gave me permission to be an actor again. And I thank you, Katie, for that moment, because you saw something in me that I didn't even know was there.
Oh, you just watch and see what you got coming. And we have a caller on the line, and thank you for saying that, Tracy. Who's there?
Hi,
hello?
This is Shelby Doherty.
Oh, my
this
gosh,
Tracy's mom, and I just wanted to call you guys, Katie, and tell you, you are just wonderful, and I wanted to thank you for presenting Tracy and presenting yourself. You're doing a great job.
Thank you very much. It's nice to hear your voice. Where are you
guys
from?
Are just doing wonderful. And Katie, just thank you. She's and I, as a mom, I just want to say she's never stopped working towards her goal since the day she was almost born, it seems like to me. And
right.
I knew that she had a special purpose. I have three children, and I love them all. But when she was born, I knew that she had a purpose in life. And you just said a while ago that, you know, you feel her purpose, and I just really want to thank you guys. You're just doing a beautiful job. Thanks.
Thank you for having Tracy.
Well, you're great, and I hope that the listeners get to hear this because you are too. I know that this is coming from your heart and your soul, and I really appreciate it.
It's our pleasure, very much our pleasure. And thank you for having such a great...
Go right ahead and continue, but I just wanted to let you all know I love you both, and you're doing, it's just beautiful what you're doing tonight.
Well, thank you, and thank you for calling in, and keep listening.
You're great. Bye-bye.
Bye. Wow, Tracy.
Yeah, my biggest
fan. That was your mama. I guess that was our mama.
Right.
Adopted her.
Yeah, she's
yeah, so she's one of your biggest fans.
Yeah, I'm pretty blessed.
As it should be. And what's wonderful is that, you know, we have angels all around us, and they come in all kinds of forms and all kinds of ways, and some of them are even animals. And, you know, our parents are really in our lives because I believe personally we chose them before we were born because we needed to come through them and that vessel so that we could master the things that they had in their heart for us to learn. And it sounds like your mom really is very proud of you and had a hope in her own heart, whether she's expressed it to you or not, that you would become the woman that you are. And, you know, what a great gift for her to see you shine.
Well, she's a great lady, so I'm glad that I've been able to give her that gift.
Well, giving it to yourself first is really the key.
It sure, yeah. I mean, I do hear what you're saying, but it is.
It's really the key. So, so in about 5 years, what do you see yourself doing?
I see myself producing films as well as acting in them. You know, I mean, being able to attract the kind of material that does inspire me, and hopefully, you know, it inspires other people. And, you know, and also being able to collaborate with other great actors. I mean, it is my deepest desire. I have so many friends in this business that are so talented that you know, like me, have taken a longer road to getting there. And I'd love to be a vehicle for them, you know, to explore their own purpose as well through the process of filmmaking.
Right, and I'm hearing that you're reaching out for yet one more way to express your authentic self and generosity to support other people and be a role model for other people to live their dreams as actors performing in something you produce. Is that correct?
Absolutely, and on the other side of the camera, you know, I've been so blessed in the last 3 years to work with some young filmmakers, young, not necessarily in age, but young in their experience with the filmmaking business, and I'm blown away by the talent and the ability to tell a story in such a, you know, a concise, quick fashion, and the dedication and just the drive that goes behind wanting to make films and tell stories. And,
well, you have that same talent yourself, Tracy, and I know that whatever you set your mind to do, you're going to do, and you're going to do it brilliantly. Would you like to tell our listeners what you have in mind to produce coming up, or is that still something that you
can't talk about? Oh, no, I would love to tell them. I'm actually currently launching fundraising for my film, Nuclear Families, and it's up on my website, so if you do take a look at my website, you'll see a short blurb, but I will read it to you now. It's about a successful mid-30s ad executive who's battling the screwball demons of her wildly eccentric family in order to face her own fears about commitment. Love is only as complicated as the family you come from, and ultimately, it's simply a leap of faith. So if you want to check out the website, it's called Nuclear Families, plural, themovie.com, and there's a little animation that articulates her family tree. And anyway, so I've been writing a business plan and putting together budgets and private placement memorandums, and we will be starting our fundraising at the end of September, it looks like.
Wonderful.
And hopefully we'll be in development by the beginning of 2010.
Excellent. Wow, that's great. It sounds like a great premise, too. And love is a leap of faith, no matter what family you come from. You know, it takes a lot of courage to be that vulnerable. And, you know, like you were saying, to be your authentic self is the key way to get there and allow love in your life so that you can love others. And, you know, your process is very, very interesting to watch, kind of like if I were actually an ethereal being of a guardian angel, I'd be very proud of you.
Oh,
and,
thank you.
You know, the company I have is called Guardian Angel, and there's a reason behind that, and it's so that I can help people like you and all the rest of my clients to realize that their wings have always been there, they've always worked perfectly, and they've always been able to fly, and if they did fly and they fell, they wouldn't get hurt because they were only 2 inches off the ground. So there's no reason not to use the wings. And, you know, I've told people that as a talent manager, I give flying lessons. And that really feels true because I don't know if you know this, Tracy, but I had 6 episodes of a series on Actors Access where I was the talent manager interviewing a casting director. And the subject was using metaphysics and the law of attraction for the entertainment industry. Mm-hmm. And it was a very compelling series. I had Renita on from Renita Casting, and
right.
We both, you know, are outside of the consciousness closet, out loud and proud, and looking to coax everybody else we can out of that closet as well. And it was really a great indication of what people are hungry for. And what people are hungry for, in my opinion, is the very things we're talking about tonight, and that is embracing their own power, that is connecting to source, that is realizing that true confidence doesn't mean you believe in yourself. It means you believe that you're not alone. It means you believe that we're all connected. It means that you know that you're being supported and that all you need to do is connect to your purpose and the universe will show up to support you every time. And so, you know, it's my great honor and privilege to be a talent manager in a town like Hollywood and to be, you know, a person who has a radio show called Spiritual Hollywood. And I'll tell you, everybody in the industry I deal with, and I'm going on 3 decades in this industry, they open my mail, they open my submissions, they take my phone calls, they book my clients, they don't laugh at me, they don't make fun of me, they understand where I'm coming from, and, you know, I'm not afraid to do it, and that's the whole key, because I know what the truth is. I know where we all come from. I know that we are pure creator, pure source, pure love, pure divinity, and pure God. And when you get back to your authentic self, then you are connected to source. And I have a funny thing I say, Acadianism, that we're all sorcerers and sorceresses because when we're connected to source, you can have, do, and be anything you choose. And that is the truth. And, you know, it's been such a delight over this past few years watching you really step into your power. And I know what's coming for you, whether you see it or not. I saw it the day I met you. And it just tickles me every time you take a big step forward because I know that you're going to take an even bigger one the next leap you take. And that's just the way you operate in life. And, you know, by the time you're a graciously aged woman who will never grow old, you're going to be very much like a Helen Hayes, I believe, somebody who's mellowed so much into their greatness that people just can't turn away from you. And I'm not saying you're going to wait that long to have that kind of a career. I just know that that's That's the end result I see. Are you there?
Well, I'm counting on it. I'm counting on it. I am here. You had me speechless for a moment.
I know. It's like, that's a good thing. And
I think one of the things I wanted to say, you know, you had mentioned being, you know, the name of your company, Guardian Angel, and one of the things I should say to anyone, but, you know, your clients alike, I mean, anybody's clients, is that one of the things you do have to trust is people around you, and you have to trust them. And somebody just recently said this to me, and I'm going to share it with the listeners, is that you cannot be lifted if you won't let go. And so much about life, no matter what your career choice is about letting go and trusting that the universe really has a grand plan that usually is, like you say, it's bigger than I can even imagine in, you know, in my biggest part of my imagination. And that has been true throughout my life, and I do trust that, and I am every day reminding myself to just let go and fly.
Well, I want to tell you something before I forget. Thank you for sharing that story, and what you just did, that quote, is amazing. You cannot be lifted if you won't let go. That's amazing, and I wrote that down, and I will be using it, if you don't mind.
Not at all. I don't know who said it to me. I wish I could give them appropriate credit, but somebody just recently said it to me. So
I love it. Whoever said that to you, you passed it along to the universe and all the people listening, and I'm sure it touched everybody. I want to thank you for sharing the story about writing a play about your parents' divorce and how your dad found that and how you were in shock and kind of mortified that he read how you felt about him at the time, or you perceived him through the character you wrote. That was a really healthy thing for you to do, Tracy, without the help and support of a therapist. I mean, that was really a healthy thing for you to do. And, you know, I think that there's really something amazing about you that gave you the thought to do a thing like that. And I want to know, how did it make you feel to write that down, how you felt in that play about your parents' divorce, if you don't mind sharing?
Oh, I was so young, and I'm not even sure at the time in my life, I really was, for some reason, I was always drawn to, when my mom would take me to the library, I wanted to read a play. Like, I loved, you know, it said, you know, Susie says, and this was what she said, and I don't know if it was just being able to put the words in someone else's mouth was much easier than being able to say them myself. As a kid, I was pretty ridiculously shy, really. Not necessarily around my family, but definitely in public situations. I was very quiet and scared. You know, I think back on, you know, when I was in like the third and fourth grade, when I was asked to read out loud in school, I would stutter through it because I was so just afraid to be put in the limelight like that. But I loved the idea of it, and there was something, and I really think it was being able to, it was giving voice to something I couldn't say, to everything, you know, like most actors, I'm insanely sensitive, but I stuffed it all because I was really kind of afraid. I was scared to share it. I don't know if it was my shyness or, you know, something that had happened to me at some point in my life, who knows, but I really stuffed a lot of my feelings, and that, you know, being able to write it down was really liberating for me and was fun. I couldn't wait to write on it. And I mean, this was a play that was, you know, would have taken 5 hours probably to put up on a stage. I mean, it was way longer than your normal play. It probably had
a lot to say.
Really, yeah, I had a lot to say, and I don't think it had it wasn't your typical five acts. It was probably multiple, you know, probably 20 acts, but it was in tons of characters, and probably, you know, as I talk about it, it was really the first draft, if I may say, of my film Nuclear Families.
Ah, that's what I was getting at.
Yeah.
I heard when you said Nuclear Family, I went right back to that script you wrote when you were eight, and I knew there was a connection there, because everybody listening, when you revisit your childhood desires and what really lit you up most as a child, even if it got buried over time, you can revisit that desire and that excitement and that passion and purpose of what you loved as a child. And you, if you really took a good look, you'd find that you're doing it today in some way or the other. You are doing it today, whether you know it or not. It doesn't matter what job you have. You're finding a way to do that thing. So if you were to dig deep and find out what it was that lit you up as a child, you would find you are doing it today, no matter what job you have. You are living that essence of what lit you up. And, Tracy, you're doing it too.
Yeah, definitely.
So, a journey of 1,000 miles does start with a first step, and that's why I chose that topic to speak with you tonight about, because I've watched you, and I know a lot about your background because of, you know, the time we've spent together, and I've also coached you. And you're amazingly coachable and elegant in the way that you digest information on personal development. And you don't take it personally. You just take it like you want to shine and polish the rough diamond as fast as you can, as hard as you can. And sometimes it takes a lot of knocking around to get a shine on a diamond. And you use every single thing that comes at you to polish yourself. And, you know, that's a gift. That is a gift.
Well, thank you.
And, you know, to continue forward in the entertainment industry and to have taken that leap back into acting after you stopped for a while and went into investment was a lot of determination, courage, and strength for you to do that, because, you know, it's not for the weak-minded or the weak of heart to jump in and do what you did.
No, it's not. I don't think acting is a career that is for the weak-minded or the weak of heart, for sure.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I just think that the work of acting that we forget about, because a lot of people want to think about it, you know, it's the end product, but the work of acting is, it's sometimes, you know, it's about digging as deep as you can into yourself and sharing that vulnerability. And I don't think you have to have a desire to do that. You know, you have to really want
to. That if you're going to pursue acting, that you have to love it so much that you can't not do it. I mean,
yeah,
you really must do it or die. You just have to do it. And, you know, I love it when people can overcome their fears of success and overcome their fears of their own greatness and allow their personal fingerprint to shine. And, you know, most often, Tracy, you know, back at the conference where you met me, I was leading classes for a group called the AIA Studios. And what I learned and practiced in the series of workshops that I produced and led there is that what most people perceive as their flaws are actually their greatest gifts and assets. And that's what I taught in my classes. And what came out of those classes were people who accepted themselves fully, inside and out, so that their thoughts of themselves internally matched their external circumstances, and they improved exponentially once their opinion of themselves improved. So, you know, that's kind of work I do with actors, is to help them realize their divinity.
Yeah, I was in a class that you taught at AIA, actually. This has been a couple years ago, but I remember profoundly a moment when one actress stood up, and you guys were having a dialogue, and you just stopped her and you said, "You know, I just want to say congratulations. You are exactly who you always wanted to be." And that moment, I'm getting choked up just saying that, was such a profound moment for me. And it wasn't even me you were talking to, but I felt like it was. Because it was like, and she like me right now, she got, you know, very emotional. And I just remember that moment is so important. It is so important for us to hear that we are exactly who we always wanted to be and who we were supposed to be, and that we are enough right now. You know,
yes.
And I think that was, I felt compelled to tell you that.
Thank you for saying that. And ironically enough, I've got goosebumps on my knees, but that's not what I'm talking about. This woman you're speaking of is now a host on BBS Radio.
Right on. How great is that?
And she's a very successful stand-up comedian now.
Right.
And she couldn't get past herself before until she learned to, you know, realize her divinity and that there's never been anything wrong with her except for what she made up.
Right.
So, you know, it's
so
like...
many of us
you.
Do that.
Yeah, it's so simple and so complex, isn't it?
No,
you know,
yeah.
And what I want to do is raise consciousness to the point in my lifetime where everybody knows who they really are. And if you know who you really are and where you come from, if you just know it like you know it like you know it, you're not going to hurt each other. You're just going to support each other and love
right.
one another. And I know that sounds a bit Pollyanna, but I totally see it as doable. And I believe that one person can ignite consciousness globally. I believe one person can do it. And if each one of us think that person can be us, it would be a different world immediately.
Right. Exactly. It's
okay.
Really very amazing. Like you said,
it is.
So simple
and you know,
so complicated.
It's good to have a discussion like this. This is the BBS Radio. If it isn't mainstream, you're going to find it on BBS Radio. And I hope that these conversations are so mainstream that you hear these things being said in the line at the grocery store while you're waiting to pay for your groceries. I mean,
well, Katie,
you know,
I think you're on the right track because I think a lot more top people are talking about it more than ever,
right.
ever. I know. So, I mean, I think there's a lot of consciousness going around right now, and hopefully we will keep it up and we won't lose sight of it. I know there's been some dark, globally, we're talking, you know, just economically, everybody is faced with their own issues, and, you know, it's been a dark time for many, many people, and I'm hoping that does not outweigh what the trend that I saw. This was the lightness that was evolving previously.
Well, that's
and it's
the momentum
still there. I just don't know if it's gotten muted by sort of the cloud. There's a little cloud over it right now, but I think that it's coming. It's on its way.
I believe what's going on globally right now is pure expansion, and I believe that what's going to happen in 2012 is a shift in consciousness, and that people are starting to feel the call, and there are people who are resisting it, and it's those people who are resisting it that I'd like to reach. And there is the issue of free will. And, you know, I'm always constantly, 24 hours a day, even in my sleep, the dreams I have are of a world where everybody knows who they are. And, you know, I'm doing everything I possibly can in this lifetime to, you know, create a world like that. And who knows what I'm capable of? Who knows what you're capable of? And the only way we'll find out is to have the courage to give it all we got. And, you know, a nuclear family could make a difference in so many lives that, you know, you awaken a whole country or more.
I hope so. I hope so. I mean, I hope that, you know, it's a story that's close to my heart, obviously. I pretty much lived it. And I believe many people have similar situations that they work from. And I do think it's a universal phenomenon. I don't think that it's unique. And I'm hoping that I told the story in a way that makes people, gives them hope.
Right. And you know what? At the end of the day, if you look at every single thing in your life and ask yourself what's perfect about it, you'll find the wisdom there.
Exactly.
And there's a saying,
true.
Too. That memory without emotion is wisdom.
I like that one. I'm writing that one down.
Because truly, what keeps us from learning the lessons in life is when we won't let go of the emotion attached to the past. And like you said, you cannot be lifted if you won't let go. And, you know, there's a theme here. So memory without emotion equals wisdom. And that will give you lift off. So, Tracy, we've got just 5 more minutes for the Spiritual Hollywood Hour, and before we go, I would like for you to tell our listeners a little bit about your investment background, because, you know, you've got looks, you've got brains, you've got talent, you've got all these gifts. That's the one area we haven't talked about is financial success, and you've got that too. So what would you say to our listeners right now who are grappling with the big story of economic crisis? And I call it a story for a reason.
Oh, yeah, it is a story. I think that one of the things that historically in the investment business is that it is a cycle. It's, you know, it's a big circle, and what comes has a down cycle will come back up. So it will recover. I don't have any crystal ball for I read all the white papers and stuff, and I don't have a crystal ball. Everybody has a different opinion on when is the recovery, and, you know, and there are definitely indicators and some that you can trust and some that you can't. So I don't, but I do think that it is a cycle, and you have to trust that cycle and know that, you know, it's not doomed. There is a recovery that is happening right now, and it will continue to happen, and hopefully, you know, the government will do the right thing. You know, in terms of, I was going to say, in terms of my involvement, you know, I've been doing that, been in the investment business since 2000. Officially, I made the transition in 2000, and I've run the gamut of different jobs in that world. But currently, I work for a hedge fund, which I know in some ways is a bad word in the investment, you know, on Wall Street, but we, you know, really are a great company and really do mitigate downside risk for our clients and do all the things that we're supposed to, but it doesn't mean that we're immune to what's going on. So I do watch it to some degree, but recognize that there's only so much I can do is the most I can do is really show up for my clients and be there and make sure that they're comfortable and understand what's going on. So,
and when in that way, you're a guardian angel.
Right. And when something blows up, when you have a Madoff situation, I use him as, I almost hate to use his name, but, that I can provide an understanding for how people could have missed the warning signs, you know, just sort of do a case study. I mean, you know, present a case study to them as to why this stuff happens and how people can be missing, you know, the red flags that could have potentially been there, or were they there? You know, was it such a, you know, good smoke and mirrors that it doesn't, you know, that, and it wasn't. I mean, there were definitely warning signs, but you know, were they major warning signs? No. I mean, I think that, you know, there were very smart people who invested money with Madoff who had no idea. So I think some of the things were more were definitely covered up very well. But when you have those situations, you have to be able to address them and understand what went on and be a guardian angel for your clients.
Exactly. And, you know, what I find with every situation and every challenge is it really comes to bring you wisdom, and people are going to do what people are going to do, and to take responsibility for your own choices is really a key factor in growth. And
I think that's what that situation has done. I mean, I speak directly to that because I have a friend, though didn't have Madoff, did have, you know, some, did kind of put, gave their investments to somebody else to handle, and then all of a sudden when the market tanked and was looking at things and going, well, I never said that I always said I was a non-risky investor. I was somebody who didn't like high volatility or high risk products. And all of a sudden I'm seeing, you know, all these high risk products in my portfolio. I think what it does is it does call into focus your responsibility to your own, you know, your own finances and your own worth and all that stuff. And so I think it is an important piece that you have, you know, that people have to acknowledge that at the end of the day, you can ask somebody to do it for you, but there should be a system of checks and balances
And due diligence is incredibly important, and nobody should just sit back and let someone else take over their life.
And no matter how long you've known the person either. I mean, I've had friends say, but he was, you know, our investment advisor for 30 years. Well, you know what? Sometimes people get desperate and they do desperate things, and that doesn't make them bad. It just means that you got caught in the crossfire.
Right. And everything is for expansion, and everything is for a greater good, no matter what anybody thinks about that. It is true. Hindsight is 20/20. Every time something happens, you look back and go, I'm really grateful that happened. So even if it comes in an ugly gift box, there's a great gift inside. And people who are ready to know that will know that. So,
but there is hope. I mean, you see it already in our economy, and I think that, you know, we're on the path to recovery. I don't have the crystal ball, but I do see it every day. And, you know, I get numbers, you know, all the time on my fund and what's going on in terms of what the Dow looks like. And it's just been we've been very blessed over the last 6 months. So I think, you know,
And recovery starts inside each one of us, truly.
Exactly.
That's what makes the world. It's what's going on in inside of each one of us, and what are the perceptions we have, and what are the filters that we see things through.
Yeah, and there are amazing people on Wall Street that definitely have integrity, that have done the right things through this process. So I've been fortunate enough to hear some of them speak. And,
every day, in every way, the world is getting better and better.
Yep.
Amen. Amen. With that, I will say thank you, Tracy Doherty, for being my guest this evening.
Thank you. It was such a pleasure, and I'm so honored. Thank you very much.
You are quite welcome, and great things in store for you, and great things in store for all of our listeners. If you just open yourself up to them, they're right in front of your nose.
They are.
Yeah, absolutely. Just remember that the last six letters of attraction are action. So get yourself in action and create the life that you came here to live, just like Tracy Doherty did. Thank you, everybody, and good night.
Thank you.
Thank you.